It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here on 720 WGN. And really a great guest that we've had on several times, Tim Ryan, brings with him a pretty important guy. We'd like to welcome Congressman Bill Foster to the studio. Congressman, you represent the 11th District of Illinois, the Aurora, Naperville, Joliet area. Am I correct in saying that?
Roughly right.
And you were at the President Barack Obama's last State of the Union address. You brought Tim Ryan with you, and let's talk a little about that. How did you even hook up with Tim Ryan?
Well, I have been hearing about the epidemic, really, of heroin addiction from my...
We're going to have you talk right into that microphone. Yep. Sorry about that.
Sure. No, I've been hearing from my constituents of the really what's an epidemic of heroin addiction and the toll it's taking on young lives, old lives. And so Tim has been a major activist in this area and one of the real heroes. You know, he knows all too well the devastating toll that heroin takes on addicts and their families. And despite his own struggles, he's helping others to fight back against addiction. So I asked Tim Ryan to be my guest at the State of the Union speech to highlight this issue and to send a message to my colleagues and to the president about the importance of this problem.
Did you know, Congressman, in advance, President Barack Obama mentioned very early in his speech about what's going on with heroin and heroin addiction? Did you have some advance notice on that? You must have.
We did not.
You didn't?
No, I invited Tim, and frankly, we were both nervous that the whole problem would get ignored. And so when the president mentioned it in his, I think, the third sentence of his speech, as something that Democrats and Republicans should be able to get together. You know, in large part because rural areas are so hard hit by this problem.
And sure. Can I tell you, President Barack Obama has two young daughters. Bill, you have two young daughters. Mm-hmm. I have two young boys. When you have kids, I like to think I'm a pretty hip mom. I had no idea that heroin was so prevalent. And now you're saying in the rural areas, that's something that shocks me.
Yeah. No, this is it's a problem everywhere. And I think there's been a shift in the way people talk about it. In the past, it had been dealt with as a moral failing rather than a treatable medical condition. And one of the things I'd like to talk about are some of the real scientific breakthroughs that are in the pipeline that may transform the care of heroin addicts.
Absolutely.
And Tim Ryan, you're here along with Brad Gerke, you guys, a Man in Recovery Foundation. Every time you're in the studio, people call, they want help, and you've helped them. So thank you so much for that.
No, thank you. I was just talking with you guys earlier. Since we've been on your show four times, we've helped over 150 families.
Excellent.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
And it's the family. It's not just a person who has failed and turned to heroin. It becomes the whole family's problem.
It absolutely does. And nobody grows up and says, I want to be a heroin addict. They made a bad choice and unleashed a very powerful monster. When I was sitting in prison, you know, grasping recovery and reality, my addiction destroyed everything. Shannon, my kids, my mom and dad, my dear friends, I was a tornado of destruction.
All right. And Congressman Bill Foster with us, representing the 11th District of Illinois. There are some things to help people who do that one mistake and take heroin. What were you telling us about off the air that sounds helpful?
Well, you know, I'm a scientist. I'm actually the last PhD scientist in the United States Congress, and so I tend to look at the facts. And one of the interesting facts is that investing in treating addiction doesn't just save lives, it actually saves money. The research indicates that for every dollar that you spend on substance abuse treatment, it saves $4 in health care costs and another $7 in law enforcement and other criminal justice costs. And so when you roll it all up, the cost savings can exceed 12-1. And so this is another reason why both parties should get together to increase spending on treatment for addiction because of the huge payoff it has for the taxpayer.
Does that go hand in hand with mental illness? Because there does seem to be a connection.
You know, it's difficult because a lot of people that have substance abuse issues definitely have underlying issues with mental health. Unfortunately, our system's broken right now, and we're starting to make progress. But I could pull this back into the prison systems. You know, we've got to look at this differently. Yes, we need to arrest drug dealers, but drug addicts don't need to be going to prison. It's not helping them. But if I flip it to when I was in Sheridan Correctional Center and they had the West Care program in there, that absolutely saved my life.
But there was a program in there.
There was a program. There's 28 prisons in Illinois, and for the males, there's one drug treatment program, and that's Sheridan and West Care. We need more opportunities. We need more resources, but we need more long-term treatment. Putting someone, a heroin addict, in treatment for 3 to 4 weeks is not the answer. It needs to be 6 months to a year. But those are things our foundation is focusing on, is truly working with the people, whatever treatment center they come out of, whether it's a Banyan, it's Abraxas Interventions, it's a SHARE program. It doesn't matter. The Salvation Army, it's working with them after and truly explaining how to live recovery. But as the congressman will mention, there's other products out there, such as Vivitrol.
Yeah,
Tell us about this.
That's one of the real potential breakthroughs. It is a drug that's called an opioid antagonist. It's a shot that you get in the butt once a month, and during the month after you've received that shot, you do not feel any. You can take heroin and not feel any effect at all. So it blocks the receptors in your brain for heroin. And so this has had very encouraging early results. It's in the process of a very large statistics field trial that should finish in about April, probably get published within a couple months. And at that point, I am going to just put the pedal to the metal in getting that deployed as rapidly as we can throughout our communities.
There are other drugs we've talked about. I don't know anything about them. Is it methadone?
Suboxone. You know, those are opiates. My personal opinion, I've been on methadone. I've been on Suboxone. You don't treat an opiate addiction with another opiate.
It seems pointless.
It does. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. Are there people that are successful that have done it? Yes, but they're very far and few between. And it takes away a lot of my emotional capabilities. This is, for me, it was more of a spiritual program, getting right with my higher power, getting honest, being open-minded and willing to change. There is no silver bullet to treatment. With the Vivitrol, if you're working with a good treatment program and getting into recovery, you got the opportunities. And like Banyan Treatment Center, who I work for full-time, our facility in downtown Naperville, we offer the Vivitrol shot. So
non-addictive? That's non-addictive?
Non-addictive.
But it's not going to work by itself.
No.
You need the social support. It's a crucial part of a complete treatment program. You know, it's not cheap, but as I mentioned, the cost savings and everything from police work to incarceration and the social cost of just having people not productive members of society is huge.
So when you know this, I think you threw out the statistic earlier, it's like a 12-to-1 ratio. When you know this, who could possibly be against this? I mean, all the math is there. Everything that you would need to make this argument is there. How could somebody vote this down or not want to have something like this?
Well, I think part of it is that we need a concrete plan.
Yeah.
And, I'd been trying this with Vivitrol a couple of years ago before the scientific evidence was really there. And so I'm really excited that there will be solid evidence that you can point to that specifically Vivitrol is working. Even sort of traditional social support-only programs have some effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like methadone work to some extent, but I think you have to come into a methadone clinic every single day.
Every day.
And if you miss a day,
you're going to get profusely sick.
Yeah, and so it's not the same. This works very well. The once-per-month shot works very well with a parole scenario.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And a lot of the drug courts are starting to implement it, too, for the opiate addicts. You know, they're keeping them on the Vivitrol shot. You know, we got to start looking at things with a whole different attitude.
Sure.
New pair of glasses.
People listening right now are thinking, boy, you get sick. It takes over your life. It ruins your life. Why would someone do heroin? We're going to take a break and maybe find out why someone starts using heroin. As you woke up, or as you said, people don't wake up and say, my goal is to be a heroin addict. It just happens. We'll find out more about that, 312-981-7200. We have Congressman Bill Foster in the studio, Tim Ryan, a man in recovery foundation, AMIRF.org, Brad Gerke, who also works with Tim Ryan. We've got your questions. I'm sure you have questions, rather. Hopefully we have the answers. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder in the studio with us today. Congressman Bill Foster represents the 11th District of Illinois. I didn't really know what that meant. I asked you. It's the Aurora neighborhood. Naperville, Joliet area around there. You brought Tim Ryan, a man in recovery foundation, with you to the State of the Union address, Barack Obama's last State of the Union address. And heroin is something that we all hear about now. I've been shocked about it. Before we went to break, why would someone try heroin when they know that it's not going to end in a good way?
Well, we're seeing two major gateways to this. The first one is young kids making mistakes. And the second one is abuse of prescription painkillers. And when you think about young kids making mistakes, the way I visualize this is that you have kids that are playing near a cliff. They don't know how big the cliff is. They don't know exactly where it is. They don't know that the position of that cliff is different for every single person. But when they fall off the cliff, if you yell at them and say, and you know, complain that, well, you shouldn't have been playing by the cliff, that's not what they need. They need help. They need to be rescued before they hit bottom. And so this is what really Tim has dedicated his life to.
And you're a saint, Tim Ryan. I'm telling you, you bring people like Brad Gerke with you. We've heard your story. You were a heroin addict. You ended up using heroin with your son. Your son has died. Your son's best friend just recently died. You've lost so many people, and now you're helping others. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, and it's we unfortunately were at the wake of another dear friend of ours, Michael Wood, Friday night in St. Charles. And I've been working with the family. And someone was asking me, where do we get a lot of our donations? Unfortunately, it's families like that I work with. They had the memorial funds donated to our foundation, and we've raised almost $8,500. Now, unfortunately, in Michael's passing, we're going to be able to help a lot more people. Nobody chooses to. Brad, you know, why do people become a heroin addict?
I do it for the sense of ease and comfort, you know. When I'm sober, you know, stone cold sober, I'm restless, irritable, discontent. I have a lot of shame, guilt, remorse from my past, the things I've done. And I find that, you know, using drugs really gets me out of body, gets me out of mind. It allows me to have that sense of ease and comfort that I'm not able to get while sober.
You're escaping.
Exactly.
Basically. And when is the last time you've done heroin?
Oh, it was September 14th, 2010.
Fantastic.
That's
wonderful
awesome
news.
Congratulations.
Why is this such an issue, though? I think in the back of everyone's head, there's this risk-reward factor. Why does that not play into somebody?
It doesn't. The kids today, even my son Nick, when Nick died on his 9th overdose. You know, he thought he was invincible. I overdosed 8 times. I've been clinically dead 3. Not me, but when you're in your addiction that deep, I could care less if I died or not.
You think somebody would have one overdose, and not everyone listening who's done heroin has overdosed, but you'd think you have one overdose? I'm never going to do that again. Too close to the brink of death.
You know, the crazy thing, and this is something else I'd ultimately like to work with the congressman on, when people overdose, they're going to hospitals. 4 hours later, they're walking right out of the door. We need laws changed to where if someone just comes into a hospital, that if they did not have Narcan, would be dead. Why in our right minds are we letting them walk out of a hospital? Because every time I overdosed and got out of the hospital, I went right back to using drugs.
I bet that's pretty common.
It's very common. You know, unfortunately, we track the epidemic by how many deaths there are. There are Lou Lang and a lot of individuals have been having it now to where hospitals have to report how many overdoses have come through so we can start really tracking this epidemic. But it's absolutely everywhere.
Congressman Bill Foster, we know we only have you to 11. Tim Ryan can stick around and listeners always have questions. But what can we do to help move your plan forward?
Well, what I'm doing in Washington is really you have to attack this problem on two fronts, on the front of prevention and treatment. And so I've introduced two pieces of legislation to combat this epidemic. There's the Opioid Prevention and Treatment Act and the Expanding Opportunities for Recovery Act. The Opioid Abuse Prevention Act would work to combat the prescription drug abuse epidemic in a handful of ways. First, it would create a program to analyze the prescribing behavior and share information about improper prescribing behavior with the State Health Professional Board, because as I mentioned, it is abuse of painkillers, of prescription painkillers, that is a major gateway, particularly for adults, towards heroin. Secondly, it would encourage states to implement drug take-back programs so you don't have a whole cabinet full of meds that your kids or your kids' friends will go take advantage of to have pill parties. Thirdly, it would equip doctors with more resources to help identify potential drug abuse patients by providing funds to train more personnel in interventions and in patient screening. And so that's on the prevention side. On the recovery side, I've introduced the Expanding Opportunities for Recovery Act, and that would remove barriers to addiction treatment by providing grants. At some point, you need money for this, for residential and inpatient opioid addiction treatment for those who cannot afford it, which is unfortunately a very large fraction of heroin addicts, because they go through all their resources before they hit bottom and ask for help.
And it's expensive. A family who has a kid who is a heroin addict may not have the proper tools or the funds to get them help, but you can't give up.
That's right. You know, the human cost is enormous, but the cost to the taxpayer is also enormous. As I mentioned earlier, roughly $12 saved for every dollar that you spend on this.
How sad is it, Congressman, that heroin is so inexpensive to obtain, but to get out of heroin, that's where the costs add up. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, I guess, the way the universe is set up right now. And there's another very useful thing that the federal government could do, which is continue the push into research on fundamental mechanisms of addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, we're moving away from treating this as a moral failing and more toward a treatable medical condition. A big part of that is that we can see with functional brain scans the difference in the neural patterns in an addict versus a non-addict. And if you can diagnose the problem, you can cure it. If you can understand the fundamental biochemical mechanisms. Actually, at Argonne National Lab, there's a Nobel Prize-winning scientist who's using their giant photon source to directly image the molecules that are involved in addiction. This, we hope, will lead to new drugs to prevent better versions of Vivitrol and non-addictive painkillers, which would just be transformative. The fact that when you have severe pain, the best drugs we know are also addictive is something that would be wonderful if we can get around.
Well, definitely all steps in the right direction. What can we do, just the people listening? I don't have, knock on wood or formica or whatever this is, I have no one in my family battling a heroin addiction yet, I guess I should say. You never know. There are people that are. What can we, just as listeners and people, do to help your cause?
Well, get the word out. I think Tim's website, his phone number, have you gone through that? Or?
Oh, we definitely will. We plug it a lot. Our website is www.amirf.org. Our phone number is 1-844-611-4673. Pick up the phone, reach out, shoot us an email, whatever.
And they say write a letter to your congressman. There's no need for me to write a letter to you, Bill Foster, because you know about it. So do you have a website? Is there something that we can find out more information? Do you have a website you'd like to send people to?
Yeah, it's foster.house.gov.
Great work.
Right. Well, thank you. I have to jump right now, but I just wanted to thank Tim and thank you for getting the word out on this very important
Absolutely.
Subject.
That's Congressman Bill Foster. We're going to take a break. Tim, you can stay, right? You
Always.
And Brad are able to
Always.
Stay.
Absolutely.
We've got a bunch of calls, people who want to talk to you about this, and we welcome those calls and texts, 312-981-7200. We'll be back right after the news with that. Thanks again, Congressman Foster. Appreciate it. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's a very special episode of the Bill and Wendy Show, and we like having you up here, Tim Ryan. Is it nice to say I wish we didn't have to have you up again, because then no one would have an addiction to heroin?
Absolutely. It'd be great if I was unemployed due to this, but I'm not. And, I'm the face of heroin. I'm the voice of heroin. Brad's the face of heroin. And there's an army. We're warriors out there. We're nationwide.
There are many people that want to talk to you. We're at 312-981-7200. If you have a question for Tim and for Brad, if you have a comment, 312-981-7200.
Debbie has been on hold for quite a long time, so Debbie, hop to it. Hey, Debbie.
Yes.
Hi. It's your turn. Did you have a question?
Hi. Well, I have a comment, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if the doctor's aware of this, but I'm seeing a huge problem happening in the area where I live and all around the country. They've made the drug laws so strict now because of abuse of opiates that now it's a real hassle for doctors and patients to get pain meds. I am someone who suffers from a lot of back issues for years. I've had surgeries. I take pain medications.
And you don't abuse it, and you don't give it to kids, and why shouldn't you be able to have it?
Right. And my last doctor appointment, she did a urine test. It came back negative. And I told her that's physically impossible. I take my medication every day. She said, it came back negative for opiates. You broke your contract with me. I'm not prescribing for you anymore. So I was upset. I went on the internet. I literally found hundreds of pages of people that this has happened to, that their doctors said, oh, you have negative. They take it. People with MS, people with very serious cancer issues.
You know what? What I could say on that is,
and Tim is not a doctor.
No,
let's
I'm not
say
a
that
doctor,
right now.
But the tolerance level for the opiates you have in your system, a lot of them have they're not in your system for a very long time. But it's a whole process is broken. There are plenty of people out there that have chronic pain and need to have pain meds. And that's one facet, but then there's plenty of people that are abusing and doctor shopping and over-prescribing. So, you know, we're in a catch-22 situation here.
Yes, it is. But what I was going to say is also what I have found with during my research on the internet is they're saying that the heroin problem is just going to get worse because people who cannot, who have these false negative tests and their doctors cut them off, they're now going to heroin.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, the oldest heroin addict I've worked with in the past year and a half is 78 years old. I'm currently working with a Western suburb school teacher that's been teaching for 30 years and is shooting heroin every day.
See, yeah. Why am I so naive? That shocks the hell out of me.
Yeah,
it's the hell out of me when I got a negative test for stuff I take every single day.
And you know, sometimes there's false negatives or false positives. Ask the doctor to retest you, you know. But a lot of these doctors are driven by fear of what could happen, or they might have overprescribed. There's so many variables in this. And that's where you need to call your local congressmen and senators and bring this to their awareness.
Thank you so much, Debbie. So sorry you're going through all that. And really, I mean, I know a doctor works out of fear, but if they have a woman who has these injuries, why wouldn't they prescribe to her?
Well, one of the local news stations last night had a story, a segment on an individual that died from methadone and all these pain pills, and they were showing hundreds of pill bottles. This doctor was prescribing this gentleman 600 Vicodin a month. That's ludicrous. The doctor is now going to the prison system.
600 a month?
600 a month. When I had a back injury due to being from when I was a competitive water skier, the doctor was prescribing.
Did you work for the Tommy Bartlett Water Show?
I skied with the Twin Lake Aquanauts and did a short stint at SeaWorld. In Cypress Gardens, a long time, a very short, about
you
2 days.
You have such an interesting life.
Yeah.
Can I just tell
yeah,
you that?
Yeah, barefoot water skiing was my specialty. But that's where I blew out L4, L5, and S1 in my lower back at 21 years old, and I was prescribed 300 Vicodin a month. I didn't like what the pain pills did to me at the
Gives
time.
Gives me a headache, makes me sick to my stomach. Why do you keep taking them?
It's amazing what I was able to do holistically through acupuncture, things along those lines. I haven't had back pain in a long time. And guess what? Pain's just a weakness leaving your body, for me at least.
All right. And again, it's some inner strength you need to get over this. It's not just this Vivitrol that Congressman Bill Foster was speaking of. It's getting help in many ways, isn't it?
Brad, go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was a 12-step program. You know, for me, I was very delusional in my addiction. You know, I had an obsession that always told me the lie that I can use successfully this time. Here's how, you know, somehow, some way, someday. Now, on the flip side of that is working through the 12-step program, I go about a complete spiritual awakening. You know, the change in my ideas, my emotions, my attitudes. You know, if I'm not thinking the same way that I was before as a direct result of working through these, I have no reason to pick up. You know,
and the things we do today, helping other people, these are the things that keep me grounded, mm-hmm. that keep me sober. I still attend 4 meetings a week. I still work with the sponsor. I sponsor other people outside everything else I do. My recovery is number one in my life, my relationship with my God. Without that, I'm absolutely dead in the water.
Brad, I have a quick question. Do other members of your family have addictive tendencies?
Yeah, you know, as I go throughout, you know, being sober and these kinds of things, a little bit more is revealed to me. My parents directly know, you know, but uncles, you know, great uncles, aunts, all these kinds of things. Yes, it is in my family.
Did it manifest itself with drugs or with other things?
With alcohol.
With alcohol?
Yeah.
Right.
Addiction's addiction. Alcohol, cocaine, benzos, heroin.
Yeah.
Can you have an addiction to one thing and not another thing?
No.
Absolutely. Then how come an addiction to nicotine is very common among people getting rid of the heroin in their lives?
Well, you know, I didn't smoke when I was in prison, and I got out and I started smoking. But coffee, I drank a lot of coffee, and I do smoke a pack of cigarettes a day at least. It's not altering my mind to the sense of I can't think rationally.
It is a different kind
of it's not
drug.
Like alcohol or drugs. And Bill, you'd ask me, you know, did you ever do heroin and drive? That's what sent me to prison. I overdosed while driving and hit two cars and almost killed four people. I woke up in a hospital, in West Suburban Hospital, not knowing what I did.
I'm just surprised that if you could beat heroin and your brain understands what addiction is, you can't beat nicotine at this point.
Oh, I could. Maybe you don't want to. No, I enjoy getting up.
You need
and
some
smoking.
Vices? Is that it?
It has a lot to do with the willingness, too.
Yeah. You know,
for me, like the pain isn't great enough when it comes to nicotine. I was able to quit last winter for some reason. Somebody handed me a cigarette when I was out snowboarding. I smoked. Before I knew it, I was at the gas station buying a pack, you know?
But cigarettes are not ruining your life like heroin or alcohol would.
Yet. Yet. When I get lung cancer, they probably will. But you know what? I look at my crazy life. I shouldn't be here. The chicken before the egg. But when it comes to mind altering substances, marijuana, alcohol, any drugs, I won't touch them.
It's just, to me, it's tragic because you're devoting your life to saving people. And I would hate for you to get that word that you're not going to be here anymore. And you wouldn't be able to help people anymore because you're giving into cigarettes. I know that's selfish.
Boy, now you got me thinking, Bill.
But
maybe
really,
maybe next time I'm on, I will be in remission from smoking cigarettes.
I would like that. All right,
another break. A couple more calls. 312-981-7200. If you have questions, and we obviously can't get to everyone, you can go to Tim Ryan's website. It's AMIRF.org. It stands for a Man in Recovery Foundation. You have helped a lot of our listeners who couldn't afford to get treatment help. So donations, you can do that too at AMIRF.org. It's Tim Ryan, Brad Gerke, Bill and Wendy. We'll be right back, 720 WGN. All right, we have a couple of questions. We're talking with Tim Ryan and Brad Gerke. Tim Ryan has put together a Man in Recovery Foundation. You can find him at AMIRF.org. Brad Gerke works with Tim. You have been heroin free for how long again, Brad?
A little over 5 years.
Good for you.
Fantastic.
Keep it going. You had mentioned the 12-step program. We have two calls that we really want to get to. Michael is one of them. And, Michael, you had a comment about that, huh?
I do. And Bill and Wendy, you guys are always the greatest. And so thank you so much for dedicating so much time to a critical issue. I just wanted to point out, and I know that Brad and Tim will definitely acknowledge this, they had mentioned God and, religious or Christian things. I just want to say those people that are in recovery, which I am, we always acknowledge that we accept anybody. So you have a higher power. So if you don't acknowledge God, you don't acknowledge Christianity or religion or anything like that, those groups, AA, whoever, they will accept you, they will embrace you, and I just wanted to say I heard that, and I just didn't want that to scare anybody away from going to accept help for their addiction.
I absolutely agree, and I call God God. I don't know what God is. There's a power greater than myself. What I say is, this is not a religious program. It's a spiritual program. My motto is religion's for people that are afraid to go to hell. Spirituality's for people that have walked through hell. There's agnostics. There's atheists. The chicken before the egg. But I shouldn't be sitting here right now, but I absolutely concur. And I want people to understand, just because I attend 12-step meetings, there's wonderful programs like Celebrate Recovery, seeing a therapist. Some people try Smart Recovery. I don't care what you do to get sober, but you better change every aspect of your life or you're dead in the water.
Michael, how's it going for you?
It's going great. I mean, the when you go to meetings and you meet people that you would never meet in any other situation, you will never be asked to leave. You'll never be pushed out. You'll never have a situation where you aren't welcomed with open arms for many people that you would never have met in your life. And it is just so cathartic.
Do you want to share how long you've been off of heroin?
I am an addict. By the grace of God, I've not ever tried heroin.
Good for you.
So, yeah, but I the only thing with what Tim just said, I'm not into the heroin, but with what Tim just said, I completely acknowledge that. I just wanted to call in, and thank you so much for Kevin taking my call, that I just didn't want it to scare anybody away. And I acknowledge what Tim just said, that he had mentioned God, and I think maybe Brad has said something else. I just don't want it to scare anybody away, because you will never be questioned in any one of those meetings for not having a God or Christian
for
or
what you believe in.
Power.
Michael, continued success to you. Keep it up. Very brave words from you. And I think we have time for one more. And this is John. Hi, John. We're talking with Tim Ryan and Brad Gerke, a man in Recovery Foundation. You had a question?
Hello, I'm Ian Bill. My thing is, I have a 20-year-old son in rehab. He's been in two different county jails. It's not heroin, it's alcohol and drugs. At this point, he's only been in rehab for 7 days, and our insurance company is trying to chase him out of there. I just need to know what our steps are as far as keeping him there. And then what
7 days sure doesn't seem like a long enough time, does it?
No, it doesn't, considering he was picking up a fifth to a half a gallon of booze a day.
See, that's the problem. What type of insurance? Does he have a PPO, an HMO, or state
insurance?
He's
under my insurance still to this point. It's a PPO.
See, now that's a crazy thing, because with Banyan Treatment Center, who I work for out of Pompano Beach, Florida, if someone has a solid PPO policy, I can put you in my treatment center anywhere from 3 to 6 months, and it's all paid for. You know, and if you're interested, it's 1-844-4-BANYAN, B-A-N-Y-A-N. But a lot of the places here, 3 to 4 weeks, you're out the door.
And you're not ready to be.
But then what we do, that's where we can come in and work with your son. And truly, treatment's just the beginning to get everything out of you. It's truly when the rubber hits the road, getting your son to acknowledge recovery, get into some type of support group, and start working on himself to change. But if he doesn't and is not willing to change every aspect of his life, he will go back to his drug or alcohol. Drug of choice.
Well, he did admit himself to rehab. He was ready for the change. He does want to stay. He's making progress. He's on the 12-step program. He's achieving his different goals at this time, but they want him to be picked up by the end of the week here, and I don't feel as if he's ready. And the other thing is, I work full-time 60 hours a week. My wife works full-time. He doesn't have a driver's license, so I'm not sure how you go about getting the aftercare and the programs you're referring to.
Reach out to me after the show. You can email me at tryan@amirf.org, or you can call me at 844-611-4673, and I'll be glad to help you out, guide and direct, and do whatever we can do to help your son out.
Okay, one final question. You do conduct meetings in Crystal Lake area.
We run support groups. Yes, we run a support group Tuesday night in Crystal Lake at the Other Side, which is a sober club. We're starting one next Tuesday in New Lenox. We have them in Princeton, Illinois, in Streeter, in Dixon, Illinois, in Naperville. We're all over. All that is listed on our website, www.amirf.org. And please show up. Our support groups, the loved ones come with the person struggling at the same time.
Very good.
John, good luck with all this. Really? I know it's really knocking you, but I hope it gets better soon. We all do.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Good luck, John. And just for the people out there, when John talks about his son, we all have issues with our kids at some point, some more severe than others, but you're not bad people because you drink too much or you do too much heroin. It's not that you're bad. It's
no.
Just you've made a poor choice.
People made bad choices. Yeah,
we all do every day.
Sure, there's a few creeps out. Out of for every 100 people, 2 are a real creep. Most people are really good people. Addicts, alcoholics are some of the greatest people. That's why I'm gravitated towards them, and I want to help guide and direct. But we just made some bad choices. Nobody wants to be an alcoholic. Nobody wants to be a heroin addict, a pill popper, snorting cocaine. But the unmanageability is gone, and they don't have the tools, the coping skills, or life skills to live life on life's terms. If you want to check us out on our website, I have a number of speaking events coming up. We're doing an event Friday night in Naperville at the Alive Center, a workshop for 13 to 19-year-old kids. We got a lot of cool things coming up. We have our Cop the Kid and the Convict program. We have the Dare to Know program. We do speaking in high schools, whatever. Send us an email. We'll be glad to talk with you.
Give the email address one more time. time, if you wouldn't mind.
TRYAN at AMIRF.org.
We don't have time this time, but next time we're going to talk about the possibility of you doing a reality show. I know we ran out of time, but I know that that's a very good possibility. I hope that happens. It'll
absolutely
help even more people.
Thank you.
So there is hope. From hope.
From dope
from
to
dope
hope.
To hope. I say it backwards.
From dope to hope. Absolutely. You know, you have you have two people sitting here that couldn't stay sober for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. let alone 5 hours or 5 days. You know, between the two of us, we're coming up on 9 years sober. So, yeah, we good. Can do it. You can do it.
Congrats, guys.
Thank
thanks
you.
For being
thank
here.
You so as much. Usual.
We really appreciate it. That's Tim Ryan and Brad Gerke. We're going to take a quick break. Kim with the news and then more show coming your way. Next, it's Bill and Wendy WGN.